Jeff Hutchison is driving you home. Yeah. ABC Radio Perth.
Today, ladies and gentlemen, on St. Valentine's Eve, even if that's probably not a thing, Lacey, you want to ask our listeners a question?
I do. I would like to know, in your relationship, are you a spender or a saver? And is your partner the same as you or are you different? And if you call in to tell me that you're a saver, I want to know if you're actually a saver or are you really a tight ass?
Spenders v. savers. Why did you want to know, Lacey?
Well, I think at this time of year, we're about to go into Valentine's Day and we're thinking about all the things we love about our partner. And there's a fairly good chance that the first thing you noticed about your partner wasn't about their paycheck and it wasn't about their saving habits or spending habits. And sometimes it can be many years into a relationship before you actually think about these things or you notice the difference. So I'm curious about how you found that, navigating that in your relationship and whether it's made a difference to how you guys negotiate and your relationship outcomes.
It's interesting. I think there's not a big difference between my wife and myself, although she's a much more subtle spender who can spend in a way where I go, is that you? And of course she'll say, this old thing. Whereas I think I had a period where I was a bit more of a, I need to go out and buy this now. Mm-hmm. But we've both been fortunate that we think similarly about money. Mm-hmm. And I think that has saved us from having difficult circumstances. Tell me the benefit of being the saver. See, I'm thinking the saver is the virtuous one, by definition.
Well, it depends on how you look at it, I suppose. And I guess this is a topic quite close to my heart because my parents are actually polar opposites. And you can think of it as a spectrum, really. My mum is definitely the saver and my dad is definitely the spender. And that did end in divorce. So I'm quite curious about how people find this. And I guess both of them feel that their way is the right way. And no one does this stuff thinking they're going to be really annoying to their partner. They just, it happens.
Yeah. When people start saying, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
And people end up going, it was money.
Yeah. And
it was money.
Exactly. And I think it's the surprises. I think it's the same for most aspects of your relationship. Money, definitely. But there's a big part of when it's a surprise, so you find a surprise bill or they've gone and booked something that you didn't realize they were going to do or we've gone over our credit card limit or something's overdrawn and you didn't know about it. I think those surprises are the problem more so than you can have someone who's a spender and a saver so long as they've got a good agreement about how they're going to work.
Yeah. So I understand that you are the spender, I'm the saver, but where people get into trouble is the nasty little, the what's this?
Exactly. And this is the major argument about not having every joint account together and allowing yourselves to have some separate accounts that you don't see so that you don't have that stress and having that agreement, hey, I'm going to have my own account. You're not going to see what I spend out of it. And then we're not going to have that argument and you're not going to be like, what is that charge on my credit card?
This is Joy. Hi, Joy.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to pass comment, really. My really wise mum said to me when I was about 18, don't ever marry a man who's mean with his time, mean with his affection, or mean with his money, because it'll just never make you happy. And it was really good advice. I've just had 35 years of marriage.
Ah, Joy. And he's none of those things.
None of those things.
It's a great point you make about this idea of being mean with your money. It's one thing to save for a goal, to be financially secure, to have a goal like buying a house. But when it turns you into someone who's really stingy and awful and they make you feel guilty about spending, it's got a really bad effect on your relationship. So I think that mean about money is a really good point, Joy.
Lacey Filipich is my guest, financial educator at Money School. She's going to be with us every 2 weeks as we look at ways of you making good decisions with your money. From the text, Lacey, 8 years after leaving my spender partner, I am still haunted by the time. It's okay to be the saver, but when the children come along and your saving goes out the window because the spender is the only provider, doom ensues. My tip, if you are the saver, keep saving. Squirrel away something, anything you can.
And this, I imagine, is quite a common story that might play out in some of those relationships where you've got a traditional, old-fashioned, maybe you might say, where you've got the ones going out and earning the money and the other person is completely reliant on them. And I'm kind of like, yeah, that sounds a little bit familiar for I'm sure what my mother experienced.
Yes.
Because it is these things that when you've had equality and you're both contributing, it's not so important. But when you're relying on someone else and suddenly their behaviour changes or it has a detrimental effect on your family, it can be really painful. And saying that she's still haunted by it that's, I can imagine that feeling of just being unable to negotiate an outcome that's going to work for you both.
So how do you maybe bring these two sides a little closer together? Because is that what we're trying to do?
Well, I think most people would want to do that. And like I said before, I think it's, you don't want a surprise. So what you don't want is this tension happening between you and you're not talking about it and it's just annoying you both, or it's annoying one of you and the other's completely oblivious.
Mm.
So having these discussions is really important. Actually talking about it and having agreement and being able to say to someone, I'm not comfortable with that. I saw a great meme on the internet today that said, you know, couples have a limit that they can spend to. Mine's about $50. It turns out my wife's is about $650. You know, making sure you're clear on that before the charges go through will help.
So how do you frame the question to your partner here? What do you ask if you want to set a new sort of monetary benchmark at home?
I think having common goals is really important here. So most people who are in a relationship, and particularly like the one we've just described where there's kids, they're not expecting to split up. They're trying to build a life together. So if you agree that you've got common goals and you've got something that you've got to work to, that's a great starting point. If you haven't talked about those goals yet, then it's a little bit harder, because if someone's got a different aim from you and you haven't talked about it, you might not know.
Yeah.
So that first point about, like, where are we trying to get to, that sort of vision stuff is really helpful. And then it's not about, hey, stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
although hey, here's where we're going.
Interesting, isn't it? Because I imagine if you ask the where are we trying to get to, you might be frightened of the answer if the answer's not a shared answer.
Yeah,
this is why these things are hard.
Exactly. And that's why you want to do this relatively early. And although it's uncomfortable to transition from that, hey, you look lovely tonight and who's paying for dinner, to like, hey, what's your saving habits or what are you trying to do with your life? I know that's a very big milestone to pass. It's worth doing it just to save yourself that pain later on.
Lacey Filipich, financial educator at Money School. And then Donna from our Facebook page. Donna, thank you for this. Can you please define a saver? Lacey, I was married to an apparent saver, but he was a non-spender, which is quite different. Money still disappeared down the plug hole through unplanned and erratic occasional spending, where I was the regular spender, more easily blamed for lack of funds. It was impossible to navigate.
Isn't that fascinating? And what an awful feeling to be pointing the finger at each other and getting annoyed at each other. And again, I guess I come back to, and this is something I actually do with my husband, if it's hard to navigate and you can't find a middle ground, can you agree to have separate accounts? Having a joint account is not compulsory. If you can agree how the money comes in and then gets split up, and hey, this much goes to account A, this one goes to account B, and then you're in charge of what's in that account, maybe that would help in a situation like that. And I think it's a really important topic, because as you get further into a relationship, there's almost a cultural expectation that you share everything and that everything's joint. I know happily married couples, 30 years married, raised their kids, never had a joint account, paid their half of the mortgage each month, very happy. There's no rules. That's what I guess I'm trying to say. You've got to find out what works for you, and knowing what you know about yourself and being really honest with yourself, admitting, yeah, look, okay, I do have a bit of a compulsion in this area. If you know that about yourself, then you can find something that works for you both.